Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Without wasting any time, here is mayoral candidate for Alnwick Haldeman, Steve Gilchrist. I'm so pleased to have with me today Steve Gilchrist, candidate for mayor of Alnwick Haldeman Township. Welcome to Consider This.
Well, thank you very much, Robert. I'm pleased to be with you today.
There may be some people who don't know you, so let's begin with you introducing yourself as a candidate for mayor.
Well, thank you very much. My family and I fell in love with what we now consider our family farm up in near Rice Lake about 45 years ago, attracted by not just the scenery, but just the great community. And that love affair has never ended for me. I'm fascinated by the range of geological features, the different environmental aspects, the predominance of agriculture, and quite frankly, a great lifestyle. I think an awful lot of Canadians have lost what we continue to enjoy here across Northumberland County. I'm not going to single out Alnwick Haldeman, but Alnwick Haldeman is perhaps the perfect example. It has enough services to meet the needs of its constituents. It's closer to an even bigger couple of towns, but it's got a really great lifestyle, and I think it's worth protecting and worth throwing my hat in the ring to be part of, hopefully, an entire council that really does want to continue to see particularly agriculture, maintain such a strong presence in the township.
There may be some voters who will say, well, wait a minute, you weren't born here. You've lived here for 45 years, but you were not born here. And also that you haven't spent the majority of your life living here.
Well, actually, that's not true.
What would you say to those people who might think you're not really from Alnwick Haldeman?
Well, you can't hold it to get my parents where I was born, but we've had the farm now for over 2/3 of my life. So I think that certainly makes me comfortable with the process I'm undertaking now. And I think, in fact, allows me an even broader perspective. As I was growing up, my father had a number of promotions that took us across the country. So I've seen places like Prince Edward Island and Calgary and Toronto, where I was born. But I've also seen how they've evolved and what they look like today versus what they looked like when I lived there as a child. And again, I feel that sense of loss in those communities. So when I lived in Calgary, it was the southernmost street. I got up every morning, looked out my window, and there were the Rocky Mountains. That street is now over a mile and a half inside the southern boundary of Calgary. And all of those ranches and lovely vistas, they're all gone. And so I hope we don't suffer that same fate here, particularly because it isn't just the lovely vistas. Agriculture is by far the number one economic driver in the township, and in fact, in the county as a whole. So it's not a particularly healthy trade-off to lose those ongoing revenue streams from agriculture, the employment opportunities, the ancillary businesses, for the sake of a one-time development of let's say, a housing neighborhood.
I'd like to get in talking to about those issues in just a moment, but
sure.
Just helping people get to know you a bit better. You have served at Queen's Park as a politician, and you have served as a minister for the government. You've also advised politicians at the provincial and federal levels of government. You have done a lot of high-level stuff that impacts millions of people. Why do you feel the urge to suddenly participate in this level of government at the municipal level that looks after potholes and building permits?
Well, Well, I think they're all connected. All of those points are connected. First off, municipal governments are by far the ones that by far have the strongest connection with the people because of those things you've just mentioned. If the water doesn't come on in Coburg, or if there's a pothole on your township road, or there's some kind of breakdown in infrastructure, it immediately affects the community. Whereas a lot of the stuff done at Queen's Park and in Ottawa are dealing more philosophical, preventative measures that hopefully will never be called upon. I guess the thing that really strikes me is that of all the things I was able to do when I was at Queen's Park, the ones which I'm most proud, the creation of the Oak Ridges Moraine Conservation Plan in particular, related to the environment and related to exactly the things that inspire me to run right now. I think it would have been a terrible shame if we had not protected the moraine when we did. 88% of the landmass that was left behind at the end of the glacial period, the most recent glacial period, has now been protected in perpetuity. That means clean drinking water for over 250,000 Ontarians. It means clean water running into 31 streams and rivers that run north to Lake Simcoe and south to Lake Ontario. So the fishing and tourism impacts of being able to maintain those watersheds. It really was something that I thought the time had come, much like a generation earlier, we had protected the Niagara Escarpment. And when you stop to consider that the moraine covers 24% of all Northumberland County and almost 50% of all New Haldimand, you can connect the dots and see why what I saw as my most important contribution at Queen's Park has a very direct bearing on the township in which I live.
That really leads well into my next question, because before we get into the specific issues, how are you going to make life in Alnwick Haldimand better compared to the last 4 years?
Well, there's certainly a lot of things I learned when I was down at Queen's Park, and perhaps I can offer that's the competitive advantage I have over the other candidates for mayor. It isn't just having good intention that I think the voters want to see. It's having the skill set to actually deal with problems when they arise, or better yet, anticipate problems and prevent them from occurring in the first place. So, for example, one of the things that quite frankly shocked me when I was first parliamentary assistant and then minister at Municipal Affairs and Housing was the fact that every municipality loses money on every single home that gets developed. Now reflect on that for a second. The more homes we build, the more money the municipalities lose, because the infrastructure that goes to create the opportunities to site those new homes is not fully covered by the developers themselves. Now that can be changed. Every municipality has the ability to set a development charge. And so one of the things, understanding that the single biggest, if you'll forgive me, threat right now in Alnwick Haldimand is a proposed development down in the little hamlet of Lakeport, outside the hamlet of Lakeport, a historical hamlet, 800 homes. That may not seem like a lot to people coming from Mississauga or Markham or Toronto, but that's 25% of all the existing homes in the entire township. So we're talking about one development on 200 acres of, by the way, very good farmland on the lakefront, on a road that can't handle thousands of additional cars each day, with health and safety issues, because the road to get you to that development, the three options you would take, two of them cross level rail crossings. So if the ambulance or fire truck happens to be stopped by a train on its way to an emergency call, you're going to have a big problem. So for a long, long list of reasons, agricultural, environmental, and economic, this is a very poorly thought out development. Now, the good news is it is facing almost unanimous opposition from the community down there. But again, I think the difference between what I can bring to the table and my opponents is that I know of at least five different pieces of legislation that we can use to stop such an excessive and inappropriate development. And I will move immediately, if I'm successful this fall, to work with my fellow counselors to see that we use every tool in the toolbox to make sure that the public will, when it comes to that development and any future inappropriately cited developments, is dealt with very directly and absolutely.
I wanted to talk to you very much about the Lakeport Beach development. Now, you've mentioned its impact on agricultural land, and you've also mentioned the environmental impacts. I was also curious, though, about how this development group is seeking a possible ministerial order, I believe an MZO it's called, to try and go around the municipality. How would you handle that particular situation to ensure that the local municipality gets its say and the wishes of council and residents are heard and followed through on?
At a personal level, I would vote against an MZO. I would vote against any MZO ever if I'm successful. For a simple reason that, as you've just said, MZOs remove the planning decision-making from the lower tier municipality all the way up and move it to the province. And I don't see that as the expressing the democratic will of the people who are affected most by developments. I'm not opposed to all development. If somebody wants to add a reasonable number of homes in Grafton or on the edge of Grafton, well, that's a debate we can have because there's a school there. There's infrastructure, there are services. But in the middle of a farmer's field, miles and miles and miles from the nearest convenience store or gas station or school, it just doesn't make sense. So I will always stand in opposition to that sort of satellite community. More importantly, though, I would work again, hopefully convincing my fellow councillors of the merits of similarly opposing the MZO. The good news is the question came to the township council a few months ago, and they, to their credit, they voted no. Unfortunately, a majority of that council are not running again, which is one of the reasons I thought I'd throw my hat in the ring. I'm quite content if the council you have is already doing all the things you would want to do, then why mess with a known commodity? But in this case, because a majority of councillors are not running again, it opens up the potential for just the kind of vote you've talked about. So I will always vote against MZOs, and not just at Lakeport, but anywhere the application is made in the township.
How do you react, because you've alluded to this already, how do you react to the county's plan for agricultural lands, the agricultural mapping that's taking place right now?
Well, they had three open houses, and I made a point of attending and participating in one of them and offering my thoughts. I personally believe that north of the 401 in particular, just because it's an easy boundary for everyone to wrap their head around, that 100% of the existing farmland should be protected. I think south of the 401, obviously, there's the best farmland is the land in the southern end of the township. As you get closer to the lake, the quality of the farmland improves, the productivity of that land. And so it's critically important there. But I think you're going to have more of a site-specific debate as you walk through farm by farm, property by property. North of the 401, I can't think of a single argument to suggest there is merit in losing any of the farmland we have right now. When you hear the stats, as revealed in the most recent census, that this province loses 319 acres of farmland every single day, it's 100,000 acres a year. To put it in perspective, if that loss was just in Northumberland County instead of province-wide, we'd have no farmland in 16, 17 months. So that, imagine the entire county, not just the township, the entire county being bereft of any farms. But that there is a timeliness to making sure that these protections are put in place and that councils sympathetic to agriculture are elected this fall, because we can't afford to keep losing land. The greatest irony, probably, when it comes to urban planning in this province, is that we know the federal government has set immigration levels at record highs. So we have more and more people coming to Canada and less land to grow the food that they're going to eat. This is not a long-term logical planning process. And in fact, it's the antithesis of that. We need to protect our farmland while farmers invest in the technologies to make that land more productive. Our dairy farmers are installing robotic milking machines. Our crop farmers are buying bigger and bigger pieces of equipment, wider and wider booms, so that each pass down the field covers more land. They're investing in GPS so that the tractor drives itself and literally doesn't waste any fertilizer or seed as they're undertaking those operations. And so farming is becoming more efficient, but that doesn't minimize the risk that we're heading towards food insecurity. California has already concluded by the year 2030, they will not be able to grow enough food for their own population.
The township has an ambitious Parks and Recreation Master Plan. What is the future of the Haldeman Memorial or the Grafton Arena in your mind?
Oh, well, I think it's critically important. And while municipal politics is and should remain nonpartisan, I think it's fair to say that at least having a good relationship with our provincial and federal representatives is very important. You get more sugar, you get more flies with sugar than vinegar. And I will work very strongly with Minister Pacini and with Phil Lawrence to make sure that our township gets its fair share for any financial supports that come down in terms of not just protecting, but enhancing our recreational facilities. I'm very impressed with the work that Minister Pacini has done to bring money from Queen's Park down to the riding. I want to make sure Alnwick Haldeman continues to get its fair share. And I think the facilities in Grafton and in Roseneath are essential. I mentioned earlier in this discussion the absence of recreational facilities and the negative impact that had in my old riding back in Scarborough. And I don't want to see that ever happen in our community out here. We need a place for not just kids, all individuals, all the way through to seniors programs, to have a local option. And we've got some great facilities right now. They're worth continuing to maintain, and I'd like to say enhance as the resources become available to do that.
Would you replace the existing facility in Grafton, the existing arena?
Again, in a fiscally responsible fashion and taking direction from engineering studies as to the necessity. I tend by nature to not be somebody that throws things away that are still functioning, but where the need exists, and I think we can certainly make the case in Grafton that the population increase has left us in a situation that we could use either a larger or an existing expanded or a new larger facility, but you can't lose sight of the financial implications of that as well. Our property taxes aren't the highest, but they're certainly not the lowest either in central Ontario. And I think we have to remain vigilant that we don't price particularly seniors and lower income folks out of home ownership in the township by taking our eye off the off the ball when it comes to our property tax level.
Well, it's interesting you should mention that, because you know every year there are these steady increases in property taxes. What can you say to people who are listening that might be concerned about property taxes going up?
I am not satisfied that it is a necessity. I mentioned earlier there's an economic impact to large developments. Let me give you a couple of hard numbers. By law, before a single house can be occupied, if that development were to proceed, there has to be in place a system to bring them clean water and to dispose of the wastewater. And each of those facilities, building a facility to do each of those things will be in the ballpark of $10 million. By law, the municipality must assume the operation of those facilities once they're done and before the first home is occupied. So all of a sudden now, the developer is making all the profit selling those homes, but the township, the existing taxpayers, and anybody new moving in there will pick up the operating costs, which will be considerable. Now you say, but that's great. It's divided by 800. Not the day the first house comes in. The day the first house is occupied, in theory, if you wanted to be silly about it, you could say, well, we'll set a property tax in that community. We'll use our ability to set different classes, and that the occupants of Lakeport would pay for Lakeport's infrastructure. But that's not the way it's typically done. And quite frankly, you can't do that piecemeal all across the township. So generally speaking, before any revenue comes in from the new homes, the existing 3,233 homes get to divide the operating cost of any new infrastructure like that. And so that's just not fair. They had no say if an MZO were used, and limited say, unless the council, as I mentioned as well earlier, uses all the tools in its toolbox to prevent this inappropriate development. But they get to pay, and pay with no say is never a way to keep constituents happy. And so I think we can't lose sight of the fact that some of that past growth has had a material impact in the cost of running the township. I'll give you an example of give you one quick example of a community that has gone too far down the road. And you can say it's not the same. I'm going to say 50 years ago it was the same. And so barely two generations later, Pickering. Pickering's budget this year is 50% capital. So think about that. If none of the 35,000 homes that have been zoned for Brock Road were being built, so if there was no need for new roads and sewers and sidewalks and another police station, another fire hall, you could cut Pickering's property tax in half and still pay for all of the operating aspects. I don't want to see us go down that road. And I think our neighbors in Coburg have seen the kind of increases that I believe come with larger developments. It started first with the waterfront developments, and we know the pricing on those homes, but we also know the property taxes down there, and they are formidable. And so if we want to make sure that living in Alnwick Haldimand remains affordable for everyone, we have to be vigilant that we don't allow those ancillary expenses to find their way into the township's budget.
Why will you be a good mayor?
I think I have the enthusiasm, I have the experience, I have the hands-on perspective of what it takes to both manage large organizations, be very active when it comes to working in and maintaining agricultural and natural heritage components of our broader communities. I've enjoyed volunteering, not just in politics. I've been in a wide variety of social groups. I was governor of all the YMCAs in Central Ontario. I'm a Rotarian for 22 years. My family and I maintained the Bowmanton Pioneer Cemetery for decades, which is quite close to the farm. Planted 8,000 trees on my own farm along with my father and maintained them. And those are all things that I find very fulfilling. And so I've tried to maintain a healthy balance between work and public service. And I hope to continue to do that. This is one more way of serving the community. It allows me to take my experience at Queen's Park. And as I mentioned right at the outset of this, to know to not just want a certain outcome or hope that if I snap my fingers, you get a certain number, but to know that the tools exist to allow the mayor and with him, the rest of council, to properly, thoughtfully, and proactively deal with the sort of issues that have vexed other communities and have left them bereft of the quality of life that I think we still enjoy from Lake Ontario all the way up to Rice Lake. And so it's a passion to work with the other elected councillors to maintain all the good things we have in Alderman Caldwell and do make sure it's not just a very livable community, but an affordable community.
Steve Gilchrist, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Well, thank you, Robert, for your ongoing interest in all things political.
That was Steve Gilchrist, candidate for mayor of Alnwick Haldeman. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.